The first reading is from Paul's letter to the Ephesians, chapter 5, verses 15 to 20. Ephesians, chapter 5, verse 15. Be very careful, then, how you live, not as unwise, but as wise, making the most of every opportunity, because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the Lord's will is. Do not get drunk on wine, which leads to debauchery. Instead, be filled with the Spirit, speaking to one another with psalms, hymns, and songs from the Spirit. Sing and make music from your heart to the Lord, always giving thanks to God the Father for everything, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. The Gospel reading is from John's Gospel, chapter 6, verses 51 to 58. John chapter 6. I am the living bread that came down from heaven. Whoever eats this bread will live forever. This bread is my flesh, which I will give for the life of the world. Then the Jews began to argue sharply among themselves. How can this man give us his flesh to eat? Jesus said to them, very truly, I tell you, unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life in you. Whoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life, and I will raise them up at the last day. For my flesh is real food, and my blood is real drink. Whoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood remains in me, and I in them. Just as the living Father sent me, and I live because of the Father, so the one who feeds on me will live because of me. This is the bread that came down from heaven. Your ancestors ate manna and died. But whoever feeds on this bread will live forever. This is the word of the Lord.
In 2013, Anish Papat reportedly made the first chocolate bar that was under 20 calories. It could even help you lose weight. It wasn't made with butter, eggs, cream, or gelatin. He created a pure chocolate that didn't stay on your hips. Very good, I was thinking. What was it? Water ganache. Chocolate infused with flavoured water. But multiple flavours of this chocolate were created, and it led to Anish supplying his chocolates to Michelin star restaurants. Nutritional experts and doctors got behind this creation, and after researching, I discovered that you can get monthly boxes. My birthday is in 10 days. Now, I'd never heard of these chocolates. I'd never heard of this creation back in 2013. I would be tempted to try it now. I did, however, hear of the energy drinks that reportedly gave you wings and supposedly gave you functional benefits above and beyond that of a cup of coffee or a caffeine pill. Claims that are now being investigated because they might not be true. But these drinks went on the shelves, and we brought them, and others like it, and they helped us wake up, be more productive, be better than what we already were. I also heard of the superfoods, a word that then got thrown around a lot, especially over the last few years. Berries are one-stop nutrition, apparently, for the over 50s. Dark green leafy vegetables, nuts and seeds, and the world went crazy for avocado and kale smoothies in the morning, that beautiful green drink to kickstart your day. But what if a marketing campaign came out for this product? Have you heard about this food? Well, let me tell you about it. It can make your life better. You never go hungry again. You don't need those chocolate ganaches. You can put those back. And it can greatly increase your lifespan. Would we want it? Hands up if you'd put that in your basket if it came out. Only two of you. Well, I'd definitely put that in my basket. Now, I don't think that product would need much of a marketing campaign to get it going. We live in a world where we are sold the latest product, the latest food that will make something better. We live in a society where what we can or should eat constantly changes, where diet trends come and go, where research is carried out as to which foods can make you live longer, supposedly beans. Why? Because we care about what goes into our body. Now, in Britain, we do have certain laws around what we can and can't eat. For some reason, we aren't allowed arsenic-laced chicken. I'm not sure why. We're not allowed puffer fish. We're not allowed bread with potassium bromate. And we're not allowed pink slime, which, if you don't know what that is, it looks like a pink McFlurry, but it is a meat-based additive that they can add to foods. We also can't have a Korean delicacy called, let me get this right, sanakchi, which is chopped up octopus, because apparently it can cause asphyxiation. What a delicacy. Nor can we have pork-infused ractopamine, blood clams, or genetically modified papaya. I wouldn't have known any of this without looking. But in the Jewish culture, the Levitical law stipulated which foods they could and couldn't eat, and they would have known what their Torah said and followed it to the letter. They could eat animals that had split hooves and chewed cud, but it had to have both of these things. It ruled out pigs, but it meant they could have sheep. They could eat water creatures that had both fins and scales. They could eat insects with joined legs, like locusts, but not all flying insects. They couldn't eat animals with paws or those that moved along the ground, and even the richly fit animals had to be prepared in a specific way. In Capernaum, where today's passage is set, these people knew the laws. They also knew of Jesus. In this same town, an official's son was healed in John 4. Jairus, the synagogue's leader, his daughter was brought back to life in Mark 5. In Mark 2, a paralytic man was lowered through the roof, healed, and had his sins forgiven. There was no escaping that this man was someone special. Rumours about him and all that had happened would have spread, stories told, news shared with one another. So here he is speaking in the synagogue, and he tells the Jews to eat his flesh and drink his blood. There's no disclaimer warning like we might see on a TV programme that says caution contains upsetting scenes. This might be offensive to some viewers. No, he just comes out with it and says it. Eat my flesh and drink my blood. Eat the flesh of the Son of Man. And then he goes on to say that he is the Son of Man in that. How offensive would that have been for a Jewish audience who knew their Levitical law? Not only were they not allowed human meat, Leviticus 17 clearly stipulated they were not allowed to consume any blood. They believed that life was in blood, and therefore if they ate the blood, they took on the life of that animal. And here was this man telling them to do just that, and claiming to be the Son of Man. He doesn't just use any word for eat, he uses the word munch or chew. What did he mean? Was he saying become cannibals? No, I don't think so. Was he speaking about the Eucharist? Well, John's Gospel doesn't mention the Last Supper, so is this his reference to it? Was Jesus saying you physically had to take part in communion to remain in him? I just don't know. I spent time reading commentaries. I've looked to see what these great theologians say. Tim and I have had a discussion about it, and we still don't really know what he means. And I've come to accept over the course of this time that I'm not a biblical scholar and I don't have a doctorate Instead, I'm a stay-at-home mum surviving on 4 to 5 hours sleep. And if the well-known theologians don't agree, then I probably don't need to agree either. And I don't need to have a specific answer. But I also believe and love and serve in a God who doesn't require you to have a PhD before you talk to him or read his word or hear him speak. So let's see what he has to say today. And let's read this passage again. I am the living bread that came down from heaven. Whoever eats this bread will live forever. This bread is my flesh, which I will give for the life of the world. Then the Jews began to argue sharply among themselves, how can this man give us his flesh to eat? Jesus said to them, very truly I tell you, unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life in you. Whoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life, and I will raise him up at that last day. For my flesh is real food, and my blood is real drink. Whoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood remains in me, and I am them. Just as the living Father sent me, and I live because of the Father, so the one who feeds on me will live because of me. This is the bread that came down from heaven. Your ancestors ate manna and died, but whoever feeds on this bread will live forever. When we started weaning Abby, I saw it as a huge responsibility, something I really wanted to get right. I knew there were some foods that I couldn't feed her, like honey and brie and avoiding too much salt, but there were other ones that we had to make a personal choice about, like not giving her sugar outside of naturally occurring sugar until she was at least 18 months. I knew how much of a sweet tooth I had and wanted her to be used to eating healthier and better foods for her instead of snacking on the sugar. So why did I take this milestone so seriously? Because I was responsible for what she munched and chewed on. I was responsible for her nourishment. I concerned myself about what was going into her body. We live in a world that is concerned about what we're putting into our bodies. The Jews were concerned about what went into their bodies. Jesus was concerned about what went into his children's bodies. And he shares with them the two sources of nourishment they needed, flesh and blood. The whole of John 6 is full of bread. These people had just seen Jesus feed the 5,000 and still have surplus. They'd heard him talk about this bread of life and they wanted some of that. But when they referred to himself as the bread of life, the Jews are confused. They want this bread, but how can he be the Son of Man? And you know if God says something once, it's important. If he says it twice, it's very, very important. So here he is saying it again. Today's passage is basically a repeat of what he's just said to them already in verses 32 to 40. So what was this bread he was offering? Well, this bread wasn't like the manna bread that God had provided for their ancestors in the wilderness. They knew the stories of this provision, but they also knew that people had still died. Now, this was something different. This bread that Jesus was talking about led to eternal life. Verse 51 says, whoever eats this bread will live forever. The bread was himself. The bread was the word made flesh that we read about in John 1. Whether today's passage is literal communion or not, the notion of munching and chewing on this bread is what we do as Christians. We know what it is to be hungry in life. We hunger physically for food, but more, we have a spiritual hunger that we look to be filled. And we can look for the equivalent of that sugary fix in things like power, sex, and money. The temporary high that leaves us feeling really good, but then goes on to leave us depleted and wanting more. Or we could choose to feed ourselves on the bread of life, the source of complete fulfillment. So how do we eat this bread? We chew and we digest scripture. We read it, we meditate on it, we study it. That we would know Jesus, we would learn of him. And the more that we know him, and through this learn to live our lives like he did, allowing him to reveal himself to us and speak to us, it leads us into a place of prayer, of worship, of praise and thanksgiving. It leads us to serve. It leads us to fellowship with one another. But Jesus doesn't just tell us to eat flesh. He tells them to drink blood. Offensive for the Jewish culture he was speaking to. And we know from Jewish customs that their understanding of blood, like we've already said, was that it contained the life of the animal, and to drink it meant you took on the animal's life. We also know that the animal sacrifices involved the shedding of blood to atone for sin. Jesus, therefore, as Son of Man and Son of God, was the ultimate sacrifice. his blood shed for us to bring about our redemption into his sonship, to atone once and for all for our sins upon that cross. On the 29th of April, 2011, does anybody know what happened? Do we remember that moment where we got a day off work? What happened? The royal wedding, very good. Kate Middleton woke up as a commoner, no different to any one of us. But that day she married Prince William. Immediately she became a princess. She went from a commoner to a royal on the same day. Her bloodline changed. She became part of the royal family. Saint Athanasius, I think that's how you pronounce it, but I'm not entirely sure, as he speaks about mankind's restoration back to our original place of being made in the image of God, says, "You know what happens when a portrait that has been painted on a panel becomes obliterated through external stains? The artist does not throw away the panel, but the subject of the portrait has to come and sit for it again. And then the likeness is redrawn on the same material. Even so it was with the all-holy Son of God. He, the image of Father, came and dwelt in our midst, in order that he might renew mankind made after himself. In drinking his blood, we take on his life. The life that was laid down for us. The blood is a sacrifice for our sin, and when we choose to drink it, we receive all that he has for us. We are, as Colossians 1 says, transferred from darkness to the kingdom of light. What has the power to change us? The shed blood of Jesus. The blood he asks us to drink. The only sin offering that's required by God for our lives. Jesus is sharing with them the only food and drink they needed. What if we revisited that marketing campaign again? The one from before. The one where you would never go hungry again. You'd receive eternal life. That thing that didn't need a marketing campaign for us to put it into our basket, that thing we would have all wanted, was him. We could have all the food products in the world. We could have the chocolate ganache. We could have the superfoods and those berries. We could have the energy drinks. But all we actually need is him. But this message that he spoke came with a choice, and it still comes with a choice today. You see, just like the physical food that we put in our bodies, we get the choice as to what we do. Do we look at it, keep it, watch the use-by date slowly tick away as it gets closer? Or do we open it? Do we feed on him? Do we chew on his word? Do we savour the taste? Do we gnaw on the gritty bits of faith? Do we drink the blood and receive his forgiveness? Or do we carry away around the weight of our sin and shame? What do we individually choose? Verse 57 says, "Just as the living Father sent me, and I live because of the Father, so the one who feeds on me will live because of me." In our house, I'm definitely the one with a sweet tooth. It doesn't take a lot for me to want chocolate or cake. In fact, if you offer it to me, I would probably say yes. Luke is much more able to have self-control. He could eat all the healthy things, but if I consumed only the sweet stuff, I wouldn't be healthy. It wouldn't give me all that I needed, just because he ate it. He can't eat or drink for me. No one can eat or drink for us. King David, in 2 Samuel 23, is fighting the Philistines, who are occupying Bethlehem, and he wants a drink, and he says how much he would like water from the well that is in Bethlehem. He knows it's inaccessible. The Philistines are there. Three of his most fiercely loyal and devoted fighting men hear this. They break through the Philistine army and they go and get water from the well and bring it back to their king. In verse 23, David says, "God forbid that I should drink the blood of these men who went at the risk of their lives." He poured the water on the ground and refused to drink it. These men could draw the water for David, but they couldn't make him drink it. We can't draw for someone else and expect them to drink it, and someone else can't draw it for us. It's our personal choice. We alone choose whether we eat the flesh and drink the blood. And I think, like me with sweet things, this choice requires a daily choice. I'd happily eat chocolate every day, but I know it's not good for me. Instead, I limit my intake of it and fill myself with healthier foods. Isn't that the same as feeding on him, or is that just me? Sometimes easier to fill ourselves with those sweet things, with the thing that will bring that temporary satisfaction, when we're spiritually hungry. But we know that these things aren't the right food for us. Eating flesh, drinking, eating bread. Drinking blood requires a choice. It means making time to sit and eat the meal that he is offering us. Jesus lived that perfect life that we might live our life for him. And the meal he offered to them in Capernaum is still offered to us here at Meagate. So I wonder what we choose and whether we'd choose to eat it or drink it. And we don't actually have communion today. But I think that there's still a chance for us now to make that choice. I don't think we need that literal physical communion in front of us to decide whether or not we're going to eat his bread, his flesh, and drink his blood. So should we have a moment of silence and just wait and see if God wants to do anything here this morning, because I reckon he does. So Father God, I thank you that you offer us this meal. I thank you that the message that you spoke to the Jews about eating your flesh and drinking your blood is the same message that you share with us now. And I thank you that it's the same message that you will share with us in months and years to come. I thank you that you always offer us your flesh and your blood. I thank you that you were the lamb that was sacrificed. I thank you that your blood was shed as an atonement for our sin. And I pray that you would come and infill each one of us now. Holy Spirit, would you permeate our being? And would you help us to make that choice for ourselves, knowing that no one else can make it for us? You show us if there's those sugary snacks that we've fed on that aren't good for us? And would you help us instead see what you have? So as we wait now, I pray that you would make your presence known. And I know that not everyone likes silence. I'm one of those people. But I just encourage you to just push in and just wait and just see what he has to say.